This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's show, we have an exclusive interview with Marilyn Payne, who is the president of the grand jury for the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. And she has just returned from Rio, where the test event took place this past weekend. Marilyn, welcome back to the program.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Give us an overview, if you would, Marilyn, of the venue down there in Rio.
Well, the venue is excellent. Everyone loved it. All the officials from all over the world that came, all the chef d'équipes that came, they all were very, very happy. It's got a big main arena with grandstands, seating, and I'm sure there'll be more than what there was when we saw it. But it's all new footing, and it's a very large arena for the dressage and the show jumping. And then there are four more training arenas, and there's also an indoor arena that is very, very well ventilated and lit, and it's cool because it's all cement block. They use cinder blocks as the walls, so it's very cool and out of the sun, so horses can use that. So it's really good, and the barns are all excellent. They're the same barns that were used for the Pan Ams, but they're building additional barns besides that. And they have, since it's warm there, they have set up for cooling areas, covered cooling areas with mist fans near the main arena and also obviously out on cross country.
So take us from the airport then, for example, just to give us a perspective of where it's located, Marilyn, and how far it is from any community.
It's pretty far. I'm not sure from the airport, but it was probably a half an hour from the airport to the hotel and then another hour from the hotel to the venues. So it's quite a ways, and it depends on the traffic, and the traffic during the week is not good. So it took us from the hotel a minimum of an hour to an hour and 45 minutes to get to the venue each day. And but on the weekends, it was great because there wasn't much traffic. So then it only took a little over half an hour.
Who does the facility belong to then? Who manages and organizes everything in terms of the logistics and the services there, Marilyn?
Well, the venue itself is an army base. It's a big area, not just the base itself, but all around it is housing for all of the staff, all the members of the army. So the whole community is very well kept and it's very protective, so that's great. So basically, they take care of it, but they have people coming from the outside for the equestrian side to take care of the arenas and take care of the cross country that really know the ins and outs of that.
And what's the footing like? What is actually the soil down there?
Well, the footing itself in the arenas is all new, and it's a sand fiber mix, which they're working on. It was a little bit deep when we got there, but then they keep compacting it and watering and compacting it, so it got very good by the end of the time we were there. They still have to work on the other areas, but they know what they need to do, and I think they're going to get the job done. The cross country itself, it's kind of a little bit of a clay base with some sand in it, but they are working on that. They're irrigating it. They're planting it. They've planted most of it already, and they're just going to keep working that and mowing and irrigating. And so that is going to be excellent.
So the drainage will be to your liking, will it, even though it's on some clay?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's exactly clay. It was hard. It was relatively hard in spots that they hadn't worked, but they've added sand and are really doing a good job getting it in tip-top shape. The riders were all happy with it and all the other officials that came to see it.
And the reports are good from that test event. Tell us a little bit logistically how it worked for you and what you liked about what you saw from that test event and what still needs to be done.
Well, the great thing is that it's a pretty big venue, but everything is relatively close. So from the barns to the arenas to the offices to where all the tents are going to be for the officials and for the riders, everything is relatively close. So it's an easy place to work out of. So there's not a lot of traveling around. And what was not good this year was, as I said, we had to take this bus ride. But for next year, they're going to house all the officials right there. They're turning apartments over and getting them ready for officials. And they're going to build a restaurant. And so that's going to be great. It's going to be within walking distance. So we'll be set. They're going to set up the Athletes Village. It is closer to Rio, but they're building a road just for that, for access from the Olympic Village to the venue. So it'll probably take around a half an hour to get there, and they'll have the buses for them. And the grooms themselves will live right there at the venue also. So everything will be close by.
So logistically, then, once the horses arrive, you're quite happy with the actual layout of the facilities there and the access points and that sort of thing?
Right. The layout, everything is really good. And there's a big vet clinic that they built, and that's going to be in use. And it's really very good. Excellent.
Tell us about the clinic.
Well, we didn't really go in it because it's being built. Okay. So I can't tell you much about it.
Okay, so that's being built right on site there, is it?
Right on site, right. So okay. Everything should be easy access for horses, riders, officials. I think the hardest is going to be for the spectators coming in. And we didn't really talk a lot about that. The access is going to be good right at the venue, and all the areas for spectators, it's going to be terrific. But they will have to get housing and get transportation in, and I'm sure that they will have buses running from Rio out to the venue. But as I said, the traffic isn't good there, so you need to allow enough time.
Yes, I mean, that's the one thing obviously people are going to start to think about, is where do they stay, and logistically, how easy is it to access the venue? The kind of time logistics of it all. So is there any advice, Marilyn, to anyone thinking of going down there to watch?
I plan ahead. And I don't believe, now I didn't look into this, but I don't believe renting a car is probably a really good idea, because when you're on the roads in Rio, there are very few cars, and it's mostly buses. Everyone travels by bus. There also is a train that you can take from Rio, which comes near the venue. We did not take that, so I'm not sure how that works, but there is a venue. But I would definitely plan ahead to get accommodations and also plan on what transportation you will get.
And tell us a little bit about your team there, Marilyn. Obviously, as I said earlier, you are the president, so who do you have working with you on the team?
Well, I have Sandy Phillips, who's from England, which I think everyone knows. She's judged here a lot. And then Andrew Benney, he's from Australia. And I actually hadn't judged with him before, but he was terrific. You know, and we all got along together great and worked together. And it was really a good experience to be able to officiate with them. And we probably will officiate again. I think two of us are going to do badminton. We're all going to do Tattersalls next year together. And the two of them, Andrew and Sandy, are going to do Rolex. And I was invited to do that also. They wanted us to do it together. But Doug and Holly both have horses they plan on riding there, so I didn't want to have them not be able to ride.
And who is your TD?
The TD is Alex Lahore, and we've worked with him before. They have a whole team of experts from all over the world, mostly a lot of them from England, that are there as, you know, head scorers and the TV and control. And so they bring in the experts, which is great. So since they don't run events like this at all. They have a lot of people there willing to volunteer, but they're very uneducated as far as horses and competitions. So they had several training sessions for all the volunteers before we came, and for the jump judges, and but they're not horse people, so it's hard to train someone to really understand what's going on. Now, you can hear it and read it and see it, but to actually experience it is another story. So on the Wednesday, we had a practice cross-country competition. And the practice cross-country competition is actually using four-wheelers, people on four-wheelers with numbers on and pretending they're horses, and test out the whole system from the timing to the scoring, everything. So we had them, and we were all in control, and we had a little bit of a disaster because all the jump judges spoke Portuguese, and all of the volunteers in control spoke Portuguese. And then here was the rest of us who spoke English. So we were not getting clear communications between control and the fence judges, and it just ended up not good, and we had to stop the competition and say, no, we can't do this. We need to have English-speaking volunteers. So they were great. They went and found enough people that could speak English. They then had another practice to make sure, another training to train all these people, because the people that they had trained didn't speak English. Now we had to train a whole other group of people that did speak English. But they got trained and it worked, and we had the actual competition on Saturday for cross country, and it worked fine. You know, there are a few glitches here and there, but that's all things that can easily be worked out. So it's great to have a test event.
Yes, that's exactly what it's for, isn't it? And it sounds as if there's a lot of willingness there. I was going to ask you about the volunteers, because of course any event relies so much on that. And when you say they're there, they're willing, but there's not much chance for them to get any practice, any, you know, hands-on experience before right. A major competition like this. So are they bringing in anyone from overseas in terms of the fence judges? We know there's a lot of Brits that travel the world for these events.
Well, they're going to work on that. I'm not sure how many they're going to bring in. They are going to try and bring some in. You know, of course, it's very expensive to fly people in. So it's going to be limited, the number of foreigners they bring in, but they are going to bring in more. They're going to open it up and bring in more and just look for people that are willing to come and spend the time and give them accommodations and see if they can work it out that way. There are quite a few people in Brazil, not necessarily right in that area, where they do have events. And they are English-speaking as well as Portuguese, so they're going to also look into a lot of those different events that have been held and see what volunteers have come there and helped and try and get more from within the country. Because Brazilians are very proud of their country, and they really would like to use their own people as much as they can and to let them take part in the Olympics. So I think it'll all work out.
And perhaps some people that took part in the Pan Ams down there, they might have some experience anyway.
Right, absolutely. So I feel very comfortable that it's going to work out. We were, you know, I have to say, going into it, everyone was a little bit weary and wondering, are they going to be able to pull this off? But after seeing what they've already done, you know, when push comes to shove and they know they have a deadline, they stuck to it and they got it done. And they really want to do it right. And I think it's going to work out fine.
So what did you come home with on your wish list then of things to be done, Marilyn, before the Games next year?
Well, it's just continuing to improve the facility. There's just lots and lots of little things that they need to do, but they can easily do that. And one was the communication. We needed to get better radios because it's a very difficult place that the terrain is undulating, and from one part of the course to another part of the course, it's hard to get reception. So we had a little bit of radio problems, but they promised to go, and they're going to work that out. get it all done. So the big thing is communication. That was the biggest problem all over, you know, language and then the radios. But it's going to get fixed. So I think we're okay.
Well, hopefully being an Army facility there, that's the one thing that they should be able to work on, wouldn't you think?
Right. And I'm sure the Army does have. We did not use the Army radios, but I'm sure they can work together, figure out a way to work together and get this all done.
Right. Well, all eyes will be on Rio then in a very short time, you know, because that warm-up, it starts very early on, doesn't it, with that test event. How many more times do you have to go back down there, Marilyn?
We don't go at all. The technical delegate will, and the courses honors and all, well, the courses honors there a lot, but they'll go back in November, and several other officials will go back. I know David said he's going down there in November, so we'll see how the progress is and make sure things keep moving. But also the other thing that we didn't talk about was the weather. The weather actually, well, it was very nice. It never rained, which was nice. It would have been good to have rain to help the footing, but since they're irrigating it, it's not a big deal. But it's rather warm. It's not warm like Hong Kong, but it's in the 80s every day. And then it may be go down to 70 at night, maybe high 60s, depending. But it's very sunny and very warm. So anyone who's going just needs to prepare for summer weather, you know, shorts and very cool clothing and sunblock, hats, sunglasses.
It is South America after all. And remind us who the course designer is and the team that are building down there.
Pierre. Is doing the course, and he did a wonderful job. I mean, the riders loved the course. I mean, everyone loved the course. I mean, it's well built, but it's good use of the terrain. There is quite a bit of terrain. It's not real hilly, but it does go up and down and bending lines and in and out through the woods, and it's very interesting terrain. I don't know if you saw pictures of the keyhole that he had. It was cut out of bamboo bushes or plants or trees. I don't know, I guess they're trees, bamboo trees. But they grew all around it, and then he just cut a hole in the middle. I mean, it was fabulous how he used that. And he's trying to do a lot of that. And I guess the course next year will have a lot more feel of Brazil, you know, typical fences that resemble different buildings or different parts of the country to pick up the culture of Brazil.
Right.
And so that, it'll be really fun.
To be clear, that is Pierre Michelet, of course, the French course designer who built the Altec FEI 2014 World Equestrian Games. 2014,
absolutely.
Yes. It was only last year. So a lot of riders will be familiar with his tracks, of course. He's very well known in Europe.
Nice big galloping tracks. But, of course, a lot of technical problems that he will present to them, but very fair. But usually on a forward distance, and that's typical of Pierre. It's great. I thought he did a wonderful job.
Well, we'll all be looking forward to that and the battle that will ensue down there in Rio, Maryland. So thank you very much indeed for coming on the programming and giving us a sneak preview of what we can expect next year.
Well, you're welcome. And it was very beautiful, so people will be very happy. Once you get there, it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous venue, so it's very enjoyable.
And the dates for the Rio Olympic Games are August the 5th through the 21st, and you'll find more information on their website at rio2016.com. And don't forget to check the USEA website for all the latest news and updates and the leaderboards for horse and rider throughout the year. That's all at useventing.com. And to keep right up to date each day with the news, you can follow us along on Facebook and Twitter. If you're listening to us online and would prefer to listen to us on the go on your smartphone or tablet, you can download the podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.